Do you want to overcome unthinkable obstacles and live a life of helping others with your story of resilience, courage, and grit? Listen to my interview with Mimi Tallow and learn how she is making a difference by sharing her story with three of her books and a successful podcast called Be Heard Women, Empowering Women. This is Choose Courage. Hi, Mimi. Thank you so much for joining me on my Choose Courage podcast today.
Hi, Terry. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too. You know, I really enjoyed having an interview with you on your podcast, and I was enlightened with your story and inspired. And I get excited when I meet people like you doing amazing things to help other people who've been through things like you have, like I have.
Well, the first thing is that I did not know 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago that I was going to write a book, never mind have a podcast. 2020 made a lot of changes, a lot of people. My husband has Parkinson's. I got a little depressed, went into therapy, and out of it came my book, Raised by Wolves, Trapped by Demons. And the wolves were my parents, the demons were the men.
Oh, now there's more to the story. Okay.
There's more to the story. So I definitely had a story to tell. And when it was published, I had so much contact with women of all ages that were feeling marginalized, abused, unimportant, all these things. So it really made me feel like I could make a difference. And that's why I started the podcast.
This is only 2020.
I know. And the podcast is called Be Heard, Women Empowering Women.
Love that title. So, I mean, there's so much in that title. And, you know, so tell me a little bit more about what you've learned about empowering yourself and empowering women from what you've gone through. And I know your story is multifaceted. And it's been, I don't know how many years, and you found the strength to not only overcome obstacles, but to learn some lessons that you now are helping others learn.
Mm-hmm. Well, the main thing is that as a child, you are going to get your beliefs from who? Your parents. And they are going to tell you who you are. You have no other frame of reference. And I was not given supportive parenting. Okay. So from there, wanting to leave that situation and being blocked in every way possible, the only way I could be able to leave was marriage, which in the 1960s, still women's lib was just starting up. And anyway, that did happen. And I went from the frying pan into the fire, as they say. Now, having no coping skills, I certainly did not know how to survive with toxic men. And my first, my first husband were toxic. Okay. So after many, many years of ups and downs and nightmare experiences and being betrayed and my heart being broken and being abused and first half of my book. I had to hit an emotional, spiritual bottom. Okay. Mm-hmm. I had to finally realize that I was in no position to love a man or anybody else until I could love myself. That makes sense?
Yes, it does. I mean, you had to hit rock bottom in order to realize incredible message and, I mean, life lesson.
Even though I got that first good turn in the road for a change, I still, for instance, was relying on alcohol and attention from men and not healthy coping strategies. And it took me several more years before I could hit bottom with the addictions that I had other than men. And I'm sober 34 years.
Congratulations. That's an amazing accomplishment, really. I mean, it really is. There's so many people out there right now by listening to you who are struggling with that and want to know, how did you not only hit rock bottom once, but twice? And each time you found some lessons that you probably have implemented and are still using today. What was the strength? What helped you overcome those huge, huge obstacles?
You know, when you go into AA, for instance, they tell you, you cannot stay sober on your own, and you cannot, it is not a matter of self-will. However, I do believe in spirituality and the universe and a power that is bigger than myself. But there's a man that wrote a book called The Third Factor. And the reason he calls it that is because people always talk about nurture versus nature. Did she become an alcoholic because her parents were, because her father especially was alcoholic? Or was it already in her genes? And in my situation, it would have been both. However, he said there's a third factor. And that third factor that is not in everybody, but is in some people, is that will to keep going, even in the darkness, even without the right tools, knowing that you need to be better. And I love that.
Control. Oh, well, I've been trying to find that answer out for many years. I actually did created a survey on Women in Courage, trying to find that answer. Did you find that answer? What is that?
Yes, factor? Absolutely. It's called grit.
Grit. Okay, tell me. So some people have grit, and other people
and some don't
have it. Okay,
that's right.
Okay,
depending on the circumstances, and this is not to minimize what abused women go through. But, you know, some women that are abused will cower in the corner, mm-hmm. and they will not know how to get away from the man, or they will try to get away from the man, and they just can't make it on their own or whatever. I didn't do that. I fought back, mm-hmm. physically fought back. But I wasn't at that place where I knew I didn't have to physically fight back. First of all, I was very naive. Mm-hmm. Again, not being raised with values that valued myself.
Yes, right? Exactly.
But the grit was that even though these damaged men kept coming into my life and trying to get me back in their spider web, mm-hmm. okay, I just kept fighting it. And it took me a while because children were involved, I'll be honest.
Yes, well, that changes everything. It does.
Yes, it's a father. Difference. But eventually I did. And I did a lot of things that it's amazing to myself that I did. And I ran two bars. The first one was pretty much all by myself and with an alcoholic husband that would drink all the profits.
There's a story. There's another book right there. Okay.
That's in my book. And, you know, it was like I made money in the daytime and he threw it away at night. So, you know, I had to face all these things and do the next right thing.
Do the next right thing. Yeah. Okay, so I want to dig deeper on this, you know, because else what is your definition? Well, I want to dig deeper into what you think grit really represents in a person. I know you're fighting, you don't give up, mm-hmm. but what else is there, do you think?
I think with grit, it is about being on the floor. I think of a boxer. A boxer that's laying on the floor, bleeding, and his manager and everyone is telling him, stay down, stay down. And he doesn't.
Ah.
Now, why? Why? Because he's grit. He gets up and he keeps fighting.
Yes.
And that's my definition of what I think it is. You know,
perfect. That's perfect. I mean, I think that is a great explanation for this life experience because there's so many people that tell you not to get up. There's mm-hmm. so many messages out there. Don't get up. You're beaten. You know, you can't do it. So you have to rely on yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't have parents. You didn't have parents to tell you to get up, keep going the rest of your life, no matter what hits you, because life is going to have its ups and downs. You're going to be on the ground many times. It doesn't matter. You can't escape that in this life. And if you're not taught that somewhere, then you've got to find that within. And some people naturally have that fight instinct. They want to survive mm-hmm. and not only survive, but a lot of people take it further, like you and myself, and thrive.
Yes.
We want to thrive. We don't want to give our power away to anyone, regardless of what's happened, even if we caused it, even if we made the mistakes and we allow these crazy people into our lives. We let ourselves go down a road, you know, addiction, which can happen without even knowing it, right? It can happen so quickly in our life. And there's different kinds of addictions out there, many, many, many that are hidden even under the radar. You know, there's spending, there's gambling, there's alcohol, there's drugs, sex, right? There's all kinds.
I went through all of them. And the reason why is, you know, when I put down one thing, like I put down alcohol, and I went to food.
Food. I forgot food. And, yes.
Oh, yeah. I went to food. That's like the most likely thing because of sugar.
Yes.
Replaces the alcohol because alcohol is sugar.
Yes.
People don't realize. So now you get to the food thing and you weigh 220 pounds and your depression kicks in. So what do you do? Well, in my case, I found a treatment facility for eating disorders. And 9 months sober, I went to California. And I don't forget, the year before, I had just spent 28 days in an alcohol rehab. And my husband said to me, "Are you going to go away every year?" I said, "If I have to." Now, you work on the food addiction. I come home, and now I think I have a handle on that. And the spending kicked in. And the spending kicked in. Until I had all these credit cards you didn't know about, and I had to face the music because I sat down. I hadn't added them up myself, added up what I owed, and went, "Holy shit." Mm-hmm. And I had that conversation. And then five years sober, they had told me that I was also dual diagnosed, which meant I had chronic depression and anxiety disorder. And all those years that I was using the wrong coping strategies, part of it was a chemical imbalance in my body.
Yes, yes. So you were trying to balance that with things.
Yes, and I did not know that. So I hadn't been in therapy before I was sober. When that kicked in, the 5 years of sobriety and very major depression, I went to another program. The Karen Foundation in Wernersville, Pennsylvania has a wonderful program. It's a family of origin program. It's only for like 5 days, and they only take like six people because they do role playing. Isn't that amazing?
Karen Foundation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Karen Foundation. So there's only six people there. And one person represented my father, one represented my mother. You know, it was one young girl represented me. And they did a lot of gestalt and a lot of just a lot of talk therapy and a lot of things, you know, and that was amazing, amazing. So, yeah, I actually went inpatient three times.
Three times. Amazing. And what's the outcome now? Where are you now?
Well, for a long time, AA church was enough. I had done 9 years of straight therapy, sober, 9 years straight, never stopped.
During that time.
And I did group and individual, et cetera, and inpatient and outpatient. And that was good. And then I think you get away, like I retired. We went to Florida. We retired. I was in AA for a long time. Then I had major health problems between 2014 and 2019. Okay, major, which got me away from going to meetings. But I still had a spiritual life with my church, okay, because it's not a religion. My church is a spiritual community because religion, theology for me is no, not anymore.
Yes.
That really hurt me.
So that was right before the books. You had all of that going then, the pandemic.
Yeah. And I had already survived breast cancer. And I had already survived a stomach infection that took 85% of my stomach away, you know, so I mean, major health problems. My husband got diagnosed with Parkinson's 12 years ago. So what happened was I didn't seek any professional help mentally when I moved here 20 years ago. And the chronic depression started seeping back into me. And the reason I knew was because I was being mean to my husband. And if you ever met my husband, everybody thinks he's a saint. Now, he's not a saint, but he did not deserve how irritable and mean I was. And I recognized it and I called for help, medical help. Well, I've been told that's resilience.
It's almost a sign of intelligence too, you know, where you recognize when something's out, you recognize when you're not being the person you want to be. And you also recognize that there are people out there that can help you, you know, strength. That's a sign of
self-awareness.
Self-awareness that you say, we are in this together. And there's I have blinders or I have blind spots. I don't have all the answers right now. And I know if I ask for help, which a lot of people feel is very vulnerable, it's too vulnerable for them to ask for help, but that really is a sign of strength. You would not be here where you are today with all the things you're doing. You've written 3 books.
Yes. I find this interesting myself. This little thread in my history. My father was adopted. He was adopted at 4 years old. And when I was 5 and my youngest brother was born, it was myself and my other brother who was 4. I was 5. I was excited about kindergarten. And supposedly, as the story is told, they had no one to watch us. And at that time, if you had a boy, you had to stay in the hospital for 5 days, circumcision, all that stuff. They put me in an orphanage. They put us in the same orphanage that my father had been in for 4 years of his life. Oh. I find that astounding. So now my dad grew up thinking that his real father, his biological father, who was Italian, adopted him. And his mother, who was Irish, gave him up. So he hated the Irish. And he felt Italian. He grew up that way, learned the language, all that. When he died, and I did DNA, and I got the results, it said my father was 100% Irish.
Isn't that interesting?
So this man who adopted him lied, and my father never knew. He died not knowing that he was 100% Irish. That's how the second book came about, which is Unearthing My Irish Roots. But it's just amazing. It's the same orphanage, and they're still in business, and if the walls could talk, because I used to say to myself, if he was your real father, why did he leave you there for 4 years? Right?
Unbelievable story. There's more to it for sure.
Oh, yeah. I traced our family on both sides back to 18th century County Mayo, Ireland. Both sides came from County Mayo, Ireland.
That's quite the story. So you have 3 books out and you have a podcast. Mm-hmm. I want you to tell us a little bit about the 3 books and how people can get a hold of the books, how sure. they your podcast, and else really that you want to share from your story and what you're doing and mm-hmm. how people can learn from what you've done and really doesn't matter how old they are, doesn't matter what they've been through.
You know, I was always the caretaker, advice giver, problem solver, probably because when I came back from that orphanage situation, I felt like the need for control was key, even though I was 5 years old. And I was the oldest of 4 siblings. Okay, so I kind of raised them. And when I became sober and I started sponsoring women, I saw how hearing my story helped them. And if you know anything about AA, they do a 9-step and they would tell me these terrible things in their minds. And I'd say, I can beat that. And, you know, I saw what a difference that made, right? So in writing the book, Raised by Wolves, Trapped by Demons, which I published on Amazon and on Audible, okay, that tells my story. And the one thing I leave out of it is details about my children, okay. Which I think is only right to do. You know they're there, they're part of the cast, but they're in the background. So I know that book helps. And a guy, a relative, had a girlfriend. They were both in addiction. He gave her the book. She was in prison for some petty crime. And she read my book in prison. And he came to visit her. And she said, I love her. She's kick-ass. And I've been in touch with her, and she said I helped her so much. So those are the things, you know, and then the podcast goes a step further in getting the word out there that you too can find your most fulfilling life. No matter, and by the way, I was past 70 when I started all this creation.
You're incredible. I mean, it's never too late. Look what you're doing. You've written 3 books. You have this beautiful podcast. Mm-hmm. Everyone, when we post this, we'll have links to your books, links to the yes. podcast. And, yes. you know, they can reach you. How can they get a hold of you?
Mm-hmm. Well, my Facebook page, my podcasts, and my book club are all Be Heard, Women Empowering Women. I'm told that's branding. That's my brand. Okay. So anytime they type that in, Be yeah. Heard, you know, Women Empowering Women, that'll come up. That's how they'll find me.
So the book club is a monthly, correct?
Yes, that's monthly. In fact, we did your book on the book club last month.
Yes. And it was, yes. I love the platform and yes. your books. Your story and other books that like yours or inspirational stories will help everyone out there know that they're not alone. And that's why I wrote my books too. And that people should not feel alone and isolated, and that they can be inspired by our stories, your story, anyone's story who's overcome obstacles, and they can turn their trials into triumphs. And you and I are here today. We are going to shine a light on that, and we're not going to stop. And we're here, right?
We're here. We're sisters. We're all sisters. It's a sisterhood. You have to be there for each other, because right now women are in trouble because, you know, they want to push us back down again. It's very obvious. But thank you for having me. It was wonderful to see you again.
Wonderful having you on this as my guest, and to see you, and to, again, I get inspired. I really appreciate you and
thank you.
Your courageous story and grit. And I want to say one thing before we sign off today. I believe that things happen for a reason. And there's a lot of things that are not by coincidence when we think they are. I woke up this morning and I was reading something, and the word grit. And I wrote it down. And I'm like, wow, that's got to be part of my speech or something, because this word grit. And then here we are. I had no idea that that's what you were going, how you were going to describe.
And I brought up the word, not you. I'm the one that spoke the word. So that's synchronicity right there. Meant to be.
That's going to be my word today.
Grit. Thank you, Terry.
Welcome. Thank you so much. And take care. And we will be talking soon.
Oh, yes, please.
Please subscribe to the podcast, rate us 5 stars, and listen on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. This is Choose Courage.